You're listening to Drake in the Morning
with Danny, Wes, and Fitz
on 98.1 The Max.
That's how the day begins, unfortunately. I want to say, as much as we bitch about TV news in here, a tip of the hat, a nice going to Andrew Douglas at Channel 5, who has to begin his day at 4:30 with the usual police, you know, who got shot where, by whom, and when. This morning, that was their lead story at 4:30. Channel 3, as usual, went for who got shot, and I guess they mentioned this at some point. Way to go, Dice. Nice touch over there to bring this as the lead story in a crazy world, in a crazy town with a bunch of stuff that never stops happening. But this one, these things always catch you off guard. Well, not always. You know, Chuck Berry, that wasn't a shock.
Right.
You know, he was 140 years old.
But 52.
Whatever. Yeah, no, but no, this, no. Oh, yeah, Chris. but this is just, there's something wrong about this. So it just, I don't know what even to say. I told my wife it upset her, made Sid cry. I mean, it's going to be one of those things that shocks the heck out of a lot of people today as they wake up and they hear this. It's just, yeah, you just never know, do you? So today on the program, we'll carry on and do our deal today. Ask Lawyer Bill. You can email those questions in to mail@drakeinthemorning.com, and we'll take phone calls, too, in a little bit. And Bill will be here to give you some advice and counsel on how to get your legal problems, at least the process, begun. So we'll do that later on. We'll see our friend Bruce Van Weingarten from The Flyer. What is their cover this week? Let's see.
Barbecue.
Oh, good. Barbecue. So that is going on today downtown. This day will be cloudy. The sun will pop through, they say, but tomorrow, a little rainy maybe. There is a massive little front that heading through the Midwest down to North Texas with heavy storms forecast for them for today, and all that is heading this way. So they say on Friday and Sunday, look out, Sunday especially. But as fast as these things move sometimes, who knows? So if you're downtown, keep your eyes on what's going on, and it's obvious because the river's down there, see? And to your west is the Arkansas, and that's where the storms come from usually. So please be careful. Have a great time, and enjoy your day. Other things happening in this world, I'm going to keep this as brief as possible. No surprise, a special counsel has been appointed to investigate the Donald Trump-Russia investigation involving a number of people. There is apparently written proof. There is taped proof. The Department of Justice has appointed probably the most qualified person to do this. He had the job as the head of the FBI for longer than anybody except J. Edgar Hoover. Robert Mueller was the FBI chief under George Bush and Mr. Obama for 12 years. And I guess that gig finally wears you down. So he has been appointed to tackle this deep and multi-layered process. This will take time. This is not going to happen. This will go on. This gentleman has been, he has his own law practice in D.C. He has to resign from that first and then get into the specifics of what's happening here. If there are links between the government in Russia and our government and the Trump campaign and on and on and on. And the stories about this, there are so many of them and so many commentaries and so many people that have all the answers. When nobody knows anything, people are, of course, quick to jump on this bandwagon and yell, impeach, impeach, impeach. The smart ones are saying, until we see what they've got,
right,
you need to shut your mouth. The I word is a pretty big deal. This presidency has been troubled from the start. People are very concerned about this man as a person and what's going on with the government, who's in charge, You haven't seen many of his advisors and sidekicks in a few weeks. This big trip is coming up abroad. And so, you know, to jump to conclusions, although the evidence that has been out there for weeks and months seems to be relatively stacked against him. But until this is proven, it is not necessary to run your mouth about all that you know about. You don't know anything about it. We know that there are suspicions that are relatively hard to ignore. The I word, the story here I printed off, and I only sent about two stories to for Wes to print because there's so gosh damn many of them, you just can't even get close. The impeachment process is a major ordeal, and you can't just do it. How long did it take before Nixon resigned before he was impeached? He went through his first term.
Right.
Was reelected, and all this was going on behind the scenes.
Right, but yeah, nothing came out about this until after he was in office for his second term.
Yeah.
So then he served at least half of that. It was
72. Yeah, right. So this is a long and thorough process. Keep this in mind, though. There's a story here about just the various comments from both parties. And God knows what's happening on these news networks. I could not bring myself. I couldn't bear to even go to one of those last night. Fox News has chosen to ignore this. That was like before last. But now they have to engage in this, as every news outlet does. And the problem here will be unnamed sources and all this usual nonsense that goes on around any story like this. But this guy he's the president, like it or not, a very volatile man with stories that are choking him out of being able to do anything. This is worthy of note. Impeaching the talk of the impeachment process. Take a deep breath. Slow down. This takes time, and you got to find your facts and before you start to rant and rave about this. Here is one issue that they remind us of. The 25th Amendment. Conservative columnist Ross Douthat doesn't think impeachment fits this case and instead floats the idea of invoking the 25th Amendment. That allows the president to be removed if the majority of his cabinet tell Congress he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office. A 2/3 vote by Congress would follow if the president contests it. Based upon the daily comments about Trump from his inner circle, which has not been mentioned for a few weeks, Douthat, the expert here, thinks that's a possibility. The folks around him have said nothing. Steve Bannon canceled a big speech, I believe it was last night. No mention of his son-in-law or Ivanka or anybody. Sean Spicer thought to be going out the door. So on and on and on. There's a real chaotic vibe around this whole thing, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. But before you start to talk and show what an expert you are, find out what the facts are. And no one knows exactly what those facts are. The media begins this stuff, and they drive speculation. And I watched the NBC News at 5:30 last night, and this story had just broken. And they had 1, 2, 3, 4 reporters that covered the basics and didn't go into anything else because they don't have any answers. What they do know is that this investigation is now official as ordered by the Department of Justice. That's how this begins. And this man has been lauded by both parties, everybody involved, as the perfect guy to do this. So,
and he's got some teeth. He's got some media power. He's got power to prosecute. So this is good.
Yeah, he's not some lightweight. This whole Comey thing and just the entire situation is a mess. So we have to get our, not we, but they have to get their hands around this. It is in some cases, it is a subconscious thing. In some ways, it is a conscious, unsettling thing for Americans to watch this happen to a president, to a government. It just kind of puts you on edge that things are out of whack and they need to be put back into whack. So let's see how this goes. As a result of the this ongoing chaotic situation, the Wall Street had a bad day yesterday, and this has some folks concerned. But of course, as they say, don't react, don't freak out. There's been a huge bump since the first part of the year. The Dow ended down yesterday. Their biggest drop in how many years? I can't see it here, but it was a nearly 400-point drop yesterday during all this news about the Trump situation. It was the worst since September and ended a long period of calm and big numbers. Banks, which had soared in the months since the election because Mr. Trump is an ally and a friend to Wall Street, slumped yesterday badly. Bank of America was down. Bonds and gold were on the rise as the trading people shunned some of the assets that are riskier. The dollar fell. And so is this the beginning of something bad financially? It's hard to say. But it came at a time yesterday when Wall Street, feels the vibe out of D.C. and sees this nonsense happening, they react. And that's what happened yesterday. Then this story comes on the heels of it. And the damn media, once again, and we are so proud to be a part of it. It's difficult to know what's BS and what's not. Some of these facts and figures, though, you just really, they're not an arguing point, but everybody has their own facts and figures and makes them say what they want them to. This story refers back to 2008. Remember that when the economy went to shite and we all lost a bunch of money? If you have any kind of, money in some kind of a plan, Americans had $12.7 trillion in household debt the first quarter of 2017, a record high beating out the previous peak, which came right before the financial crisis. Mm. Yeah. The record was announced Wednesday by the Federal Reserve of New York. They're a real business. They didn't just make this up. They don't do quick loans over on Summer Avenue. This is a real outfit. The Reserve tells the LA Times this record is, quote, neither a, it's, there is, there's no point to be alarmed and no point to celebrate either. In fact, there are differences between this one. So anyway, these two things come on the heels of the apex, if you will, of the first round of this crisis. And now we see where it goes from here. This story is going to be in the news for weeks and months to come, all summer long. I just look back to being a young man trying to pay attention to the daily hearings of Watergate. They were on TV from morning till night and going, what? And so we may be in that same kind of spot now, but so the news is not particularly good for Mr. Trump or his people. There's a lot of unrest up there, a number of things that aren't being said. And so the media, that's part of the problem. When nobody is saying anything and nobody will go on the record, the media has to assume, and I won't say make stuff up, but they have to create their own stories to report something. And the media and politicians are thick as thieves up there. They have drinks together. They have, and they're out together talking among each other. And if you say the word off the record or that phrase, they can't quote you. That's just the way that this, game is played. So that's why it's hard to know who's doing what to whom and when. So anyway, that pretty much is the nuts of it. The Shelby County Commission around this part has okayed some project funding for the Shelby County Schools. That is good, I presume. We'll get into that at some point later when we have somebody here who can speak to it. But the schools need money, and so hopefully they'll get it, and we'll find out when it's important. And a congratulations, a high five, a yeehaw, something good. The kids over at Snowden Middle School.
Yes.
I was in high school band. Yes, I was a nerd that played drums and had a good time before I told them to all eat it and found radio, which that was a long time ago. And I should have kept playing drums.
Drummers are cool.
Yeah, I used to be cool, but I was 13. But this band at Snowden Middle School band won 7 first place trophies in Chicago. So good for them. They brought home top honors during the this thing in the Windy City. The marching band, concert band, jazz band, and drumline ensemble all performed. So way to go, young men and ladies. Good for you. James Robertson is their director in his 31st year as a band teacher. So congrats to you, sir, and to these young ladies and gentlemen who made the city proud and made their school proud, and congratulations to all of you for doing that. We'll take all we can get. Well, once again, the story that still has us all kind of just, I don't know, it's a shock. It gives you kind of chills and tears, and then you go, son of a bitch, you know, somebody else. Chris Cornell died overnight. No one knows why. In New York. In Detroit after their gig. You probably just saw him downtown. That was May 7th. That was 11 days ago. I played this song over and over again when it first came out. And I thought I might not have been in a very good place at that time. And he wasn't either, apparently. The last lyric of this song, Hang My Head, Drown My Fear.
Until you all just disappear.
I think we've all kind of been there. You know, life is so fleeting and so fragile, and you just don't know when you get up what's going to happen. You just go upstairs to your computer or to your phone, and that's the first thing you see. And it just sends a shiver down your spine, and you go, well, it's not me.
I thought I read it wrong. I felt punched in the chest.
Well, I saw it, and then I looked away and kind of rubbed my eyes and thought, okay, get a grip. And I looked back and it was still there. And that was about, I don't know, 4:10. And then the news came on, and Channel 5, to their credit, Andrew Douglas, thank you for, that was the lead story, not what moron got shot in town last night. So a nice touch by Channel 5 to make something that really is news for a change, as opposed to everybody else in their endless hysteria, and they almost seem gleeful in their reporting of how many people got shot last night. It's friggin' nauseating. So anyway, Chris Cornell, rest in peace. Who thought you'd be saying that today?
Yeah.
Oh, man. In the coming up today is Lawyer Bill. I assume he's alive. I have heard not anything else otherwise. So he'll be here to answer your questions. You can email Wesley now. And we'll get those from Sid, 535-9898. When was he last here? There's this picture on TV. You and my wife went and saw him at Minglewood, and Danny, I guess.
Yeah.
And a bunch of the girls.
Yeah, I guess besides Music Fest, I guess Minglewood was the last show solo. And he did a solo show at the Daisy years ago, and Audioslave played around. I don't know if Audioslave came here. I saw him in Atlanta at the Tabernacle, and it was awesome.
Well, he was really, you know, pretty man, and seemed to be a very nice dude, and made some great music. He had some troubles in life. Everybody does. He had some booze and dope issues, went to rehab a few times, and all of that, but it seemingly turned it around. You just don't know what happened. And I just hate the assumption that we all make that he died of dope or something. And I hope to God that's wrong.
I hope it is, too.
And that it was that he had some unknown disease or had a heart attack, which, but isn't that awful to say? I hope he had a heart attack.
Right.
There's no answer. There's no way to get around it. But I just hope that his, you know, last day on earth and his exit were not prompted by something that we all go, you know, son of a bitch. You know, learn your lesson. But who knows? There's no reason to spend that much time in wonder of, you know, why or how. But just the fact that this man's gone and his wife and his kids are devastation doesn't cover it. But and the fan base that this guy had was massive. And these things affect you personally, and it is unfortunate. There's more basketball. These a-holes in the NBA, how they schedule this stuff is stupid. The Spurs and Warriors won't play again until Saturday. I mean, come on. Quit dragging this out forever. That's game three. They last played, what's today, Thursday? They played Tuesday, and now they're going to, so they need 4 days to get a grip before they play game three. Come on. So Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, is better. This guy's had a rough time, but he'll be with the team when they play this weekend. Everybody's talking about this. Gisele Bündchen, the successful model and business entrepreneur and wife of Tom Brady, was on with Charlie Rose on CBS this morning, yesterday, and discussed concussions and that Tom has had this, that, and the other. And she was just kind of rambling on, and now they've turned it into a gigantic story. Tom Brady has been on injured reserve 172 times. I didn't know that, but he has not missed a game. But they put these guys on IR sometime to have the other team kind of guessing how hurt is he. Not one of those instances has been for a brain injury. Never. But these guys get concussed and hit hard. They're not playing ping pong. It's football. This whole discussion is getting tiresome. So she wants him to be healthy and all that crap. So they've turned this non-story into a story. Let them work it out at home. I'm sure he beat her, terribly after this. Of course he didn't. But the ESPNs of the world make this into the biggest thing on earth. It's his business and her business, and leave him alone. Let's see. The NFL owners, it's being reported, will move to reduce overtime during the season down to 10 minutes from 15 minutes when they meet later on this month. Okay. This weekend is the Preakness Stakes in Baltimore. Always Dreaming, who won the Derby, he's the favorite in the number four position. The fun part is that the number five spot, right there in the middle of this pack, will be Classic Empire. He is at 3-1. Always Dreaming is at 4-5. So these two boys will be right there in the middle of the pack. What were there, 10 horses said we figured out? So the fourth and fifth horses, the favorites, right there in the middle of it. And this should be fun to watch. Ellis Starr will be here tomorrow to give us his take on it. And we'll see what he has to say about the Derby and about what he thinks will happen with this situation in Baltimore over the weekend. So that's a good thing. We'll have Ellis on. In baseball yesterday, Tampa Bay won, as did Houston. Diamondbacks, Dodgers, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Atlanta, Boston beat the Cardinals in 13. Texas wins the Cubs back on track. They won again, beating the Reds last night. Yankees are playing great baseball. They win again, as does Seattle, Milwaukee, and the Angels of Los Angeles. That is pretty much that. Did I miss anything? I don't think so. If I did, we'll get back to it. Emails for Lawyer Bill, of course. Anything else you wish to comment on, that's fine. Mail at drakeinthemorning.com.
The only one we've gotten about the Chris Cornell death comes from James, who says, have you ever heard Chris Cornell's rendition of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean? Very powerful. He did that apparently as an unplugged album in Sweden. I haven't had a chance to hear that, but that's something maybe worth looking into. And he goes, how old is 52 in rock star years these days?
Young.
I know.
It's about the middle of, I mean, consider that Dylan is, what, 75? McCartney is 72? Mick and Keith and Ronnie Wood and Charlie Watts are all in their early 70s. Deep Purple, you know, those kind of guys. The guys in Chicago, just trying to think about these bands. They're all there, but in rock star years, he's, you know, probably in the middle part of that demographic, if that's the right word. But it just sounds young, and he looked great. And so you assume the guy's healthy, but assuming isn't always the right move. It's sad, whatever age he is. It's just you know, there's of course the big, you know, curse of being 27.
Yeah.
That was what, that was Joplin and Jim Morrison and Kurt Cobain and Hendrix and Tommy Bolin and
Amy Winehouse
and all that. But at 50 years old, you know, plus a few, you ought to be in the prime of your life, but not to be.
And this one from Leonard says, Drake, get out. Once a drummer, always a drummer, man. Cool, he says. And also, did you go through and put the Drake blue color for the Crayola contest? And actually, yes, I did.
You did not.
I absolutely did. I did it right then and there. And he says, if you didn't do it, I will. And I said, go ahead and do it, because the more people that go and type in Drake blue as a nomination, maybe the more likely it is it'll actually happen. Huh. And you can live on forever as a crayon.
Well, that'd be pretty cool, I guess.
Better than going viral.
I mean, everybody has to have a legacy.
That's right. He's the guy the crayon was named after, and he did some radio show, too.
So I wonder if 4 or 5 votes will get it done.
I don't know.
I don't think it will.
We can try.
Sid?
Yeah?
Get your hands typing over there, girl.
All right. On it.
Put in that, too. And this one from Jimmy about the Arlington graduation incident said, I know you're as angry and annoyed at the video of this ignorant dumbass mother fighting at her own daughter's graduation as I am. It's sad the mother has no regrets and no remorse about embarrassing her own daughter in a humiliating and disgusting way on what was supposed to be the most important day of her life so far. It's also sad the video is getting replayed over and over. But to make the matter worse, some people in the press are so desperate for ratings that they've aired the audio of the girl crying and being upset with her mom in a private conversation in their home while the door was closed and slammed in their face. Oh, and isn't that a crime in Tennessee, punishable by a potential lawsuit in prison? Can't they just give the girl some compassion and let her be? Please pray for her and lift her up in prayer and spirit and positive energy. The girl, not the mother.
Yeah, let's pray for and lift her up like everybody at Bellevue did. You know, I hate to be a cynic and an a-hole, but the ironies are thick, and it just makes me want to barf that all these people that espouse all these, you know, these their, you know, views about how to act and how you should act, and they have it all figured out, are the ones that go into a church and get into a fist fight on the night of their kid's graduation. You know, spare me your preachy BS. The pictures of this, which are on various places, and of course it made national news. It makes us look like the bunch of hicks that we are. There's one shot that shows these kids walking down either side of the aisles in this giant church as their parents in the middle knock each other out. It really, really speaks highly of, but just to juxtapose these kids in a church walking, you know, it's their big day, and their parents beating the crap out of each other. Classy as hell, and she has no regrets. Go away, people.
And this one came in after the interview yesterday with Kevin Kane. Said, been thinking about retiring to Vegas or Reno as never before, and haven't really been anywhere besides Memphis or the tri-state area or Michigan. But having second thoughts now. So glad Memphis has such great cheerleaders, he says.
Well, it is impossible to not talk to Kevin Kane or Jack Sammons or Shay Flynn or these people that we have on this program who we call friends, who are they carry the torch for this town continually. They do it sincerely and proudly. The city has problems. Every city has problems. But these guys, find the light in the darkness, and they always continue to promote this town. And you just forget, as you live here and you watch the freaking news and you hear the endless nonsense. It isn't nonsense. It's fact, but it sucks about crime and death and shooting and education and the area we live in and the health and the Just the bad habits and just the, yes, it can be ugly, but it can also be extremely positive. There are really good things happening here. So just to have them on lightens everyone's mood for a minute and reminds you that it could be worse. You could be living in, you know, a lot of different places, but make the most of it. It's up to you. And if you don't like it, do something about it. Either help or move. It's your choice.
Yeah. This one from Cindy, we were talking about the poor habits of a lot of people. Said, I agree that a lot of people smoke and have poor eating habits, but people who take better care of themselves should receive discounts, much like auto insurance gives discounts. Many risk factors that can be controlled are proven to eventually cause the most common health issues. Very simple and commonsensical. And this one finally from TJ, who says, I've seen Live with Kelly in the past, but not the new version of Ryan Seacrest, so I had to watch it since I could not quit laughing at your descriptions, and your opinion is exactly mine. It is seriously so freaking bad, and like you said, while watching it, you become just mesmerized by its idiocy. Oh. You just have to see more.
It is mind-numbingly disingenuous, phony, stupid, pointless, has no merit whatsoever. They could just have two empty chairs there, and it would be better. It's awful.
So if there's anything else you would like to share with us, or if you have a question for Lawyer Bill, go ahead and send that in as well. mail@drakeinthemorning.com. Phones will be open in just a few minutes at 535-9898.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.